If you are using a book, it is number 948.
Good morning. This year's theme is Live For. We are doing our very best to give Him our life, and because He's the only one who deserves it, right? Out of all the individuals who ever lived, Jesus is the only one who deserves our very being, our very life, everything that we have to offer. He's the only one who deserves that, so we give it to Him. You ask, how? How am I supposed to give my life to Jesus? How am I supposed to live differently from the day after I become a Christian before the day I become a Christian till the day after I become a Christian? The difference from one day to the next. What am I to do differently? Well, there's a number of things you can do. We've talked about that. But one thing that you might could do if you're free this Saturday is to come to our fall festival and to participate and to help. There are still a number of individuals needed to help with that. If you are interested in that, you can see Brenda Bunnell today. And also, not only can you participate or help in one way or another, sign up for something on the sign-up sheets in the foyer, you can take one of these cards that's in the foyer and you can give it to a neighbor or give it to a friend, or you can address it and give it to the office, and we will get that out in the mail this week so people can come to that and we can encourage them and be encouraged, and we can get their information and plant seeds for Jesus in this community. So that is one thing that's coming up. There's also several other things. If you look in the bulletin, you can see some of those things that are coming up, and we encourage you to participate in those things. We've been talking about the past several weeks the disciplines that Richard Foster mentions in his book, The Celebration of Discipline. We're going to cover one more next week, and then we're going to be done with these for this year. We'll probably talk about them other times, but remember what we're trying to do. I think we need to remind ourselves what the whole effort behind these disciplines are. These disciplines are in order to open our heart up for Jesus, open our heart up for the Spirit, for the Word. We need to make room for Him. So many of us have clung to other things. We cling to money, we cling to family, we cling to hobbies, we cling to jobs, whatever it may be, we cling to those things, and while those things aren't necessarily bad, sometimes we've got to loosen our grip on those things in order to make room for Jesus. Jesus said, if you don't love me more than father or mother or son or daughter or whomever else it may be that we could list there, then you're not worthy of me. In fact, our love for those individuals could be compared to hate, he says. So we've got to love him with our very being, with our very essence. And how do we do that? Well, we make room for him with meditation. We make room for him with simplicity. We make room for him with prayer. We make room for him with Bible study and other things. And this week, we say we make room for him with solitude. Again, these things are not another law for us to follow. It's not something that you have to do. It's not something that we need to notch our belt for or anything of that nature. If you can make room for Jesus, make all the room in your heart for Jesus, apart from solitude or simplicity or prayer or any of these other things, then that is certainly okay. You don't have to do these things. But if you're looking for ways to grow closer to Jesus, maybe spending a little bit alone time or a little bit of alone time with Jesus is just what the doctor ordered. Foster has three different categories for these things. He has inward disciplines, outward disciplines, and corporate disciplines. Corporate disciplines would be the things that we do together, and that's what we're going to talk about next week with celebration. An outward discipline would be solitude. I looked up in thesaurus.com the word solitude. Do you know what the antonym of solitude is? The opposite of solitude is? Togetherness. It's togetherness. And I think that's very interesting because Foster says in order to make room for Jesus, we need to have solitude. We might need to use this discipline to make room for the Spirit in our life. But the opposite of that is togetherness. I feel like there's many of us, perhaps in this room, perhaps outside of this room, there's many of us in 21st century America and Central California who don't have togetherness or solitude. We're never alone, but we're never with people. Oh, we have our phones, we have our devices, we have TV, we have all of these other things, but we don't spend alone time with just us and the Lord, with just us and Jesus. I know personally, sometimes whenever I'm reading my Bible, I'll put in the headphones and I'll listen to music at the same time. Or while I'm doing this or that or the other, I've got two or three other things going on at the very same time. I don't always make room just for Jesus and just for Him. I don't empty out that place in my heart for Him. When we When we're alone, we get on Facebook. When we're together, we get on Facebook. When we're alone, we get on Twitter. When we're together, we get on Twitter. When we're alone, we get on Snapchat. When we're together, we get on Snapchat. We check out celebrity gossip when we're alone or when we're together. We do these things all the time. Maybe you don't, but maybe you do. And maybe it's not just your smartphone. Maybe it's the newspaper. Or maybe it's paying attention to other drivers or this or that or the other. You're paying attention to all these other things instead of giving the time just to Jesus. Here's what one individual says. We live in a noisy society. In fact, most people see silence as the enemy. We turn on the TV as soon as we get up to catch the weather and the headlines. We jump in the car and turn on the radio. When we jog, we take the iPod. I even know people who can't sleep unless a fan is running in the background. Incidentally, I'm one of those individuals. I like a fan to run in the background. As a people, we hate silence. Here's what Gene Fleming says. We live in a noisy, busy world. Silence and solitude are not 20th century words. They fit the era of Victorian lace, high button shoes, and kerosene lamps better than our age of television, video arcades, and joggers wired with earphones. We have become a people with an aversion to quiet and an uneasiness with being alone. Do you see how awkward that was? If you are a public speaker, 1 or 2 or 3 seconds of silence can last sometimes 20 or 30 or 50 seconds or even 2 or 3 or 4 minutes. So as awkward as it was for you to be silent just for a moment and for me to be silent, it's even more awkward for the person standing up here. It's awkward. It's uncomfortable. St. Dominic is reported to have visited St. Francis, and I don't know who these individuals are, and throughout the entire meeting, neither one spoke a single word. So when we're together, we aren't really together. And when we're separate and when we're by ourselves, we're not really by ourselves with the Lord. This is something that perhaps we could work on. This is something perhaps if we spend some time in solitude and we work toward this solitude, maybe it can help us grow closer to Jesus. Maybe it would create more of a space in our heart that we need to fill up. Maybe that space in your heart is filled up with other things now, but we need to fill it up, or a Christian fills it up with Jesus and with the Spirit. Solitude is linked with silence. So last week we said that it was linked as well, but this week we're saying that solitude and silence go together. And that's why we took just a few seconds of silence a moment ago. It's being alone, it's being quiet. There's an old proverb to the effect that all those who open their mouths close their eyes, Foster writes. The purpose of silence and solitude is to be able to see and hear. I don't know about you, but whenever I'm talking, I have a hard time listening to my wife. If she is trying to say something and I start talking over her, then she knows that I'm not listening to her, and then she gets irritated with me if it's something that she wants me to hear. So if I'm talking, if I'm spending time doing all of these other things, then how am I listening to what God has for me? So we open our mouths and we close our ears. Foster says that these things are inseparable. Remember the point that we're all getting at with these ideas. All of these disciplines are to make room for Jesus. I want to have Jesus in my life. Who else does? I want to have Jesus in my heart. I want to have Him as the Lord of my life. And if you want to be that way too, if you want to have Him as Lord of your life, then perhaps solitude is a good discipline to get in the practice of in order to make Him more the Lord of your life. Look at a few passages. Exodus chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. I'm going to be reading these off very quickly, so if you have notes or you're taking notes, write these down. Exodus 14, verses 13 and 14. This is right as the people were leaving Egypt, the Israelites were leaving Egypt, and as they go, they are encountering this Reed Sea or the Red Sea, and they can't get across, but Pharaoh's people are right behind them, and they start worrying. They say, what are we supposed to do? Moses said to the people there in Exodus 14, beginning in verse 13, fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will work for you today. He says, stop mumbling, stop complaining, stop grumbling, stop your talking. The Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. Just be quiet for a minute, people, and the Lord will take care of you. Lamentations 3, 25 and 26. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him. To the soul who seeks Him, it is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. So people say all the time, perhaps I'm one of them, maybe you're one of them as well, that I'm waiting on the Lord, I'm going to let Him do His thing, I'm going to trust Him to do all these things, but the whole time I'm talking about it, I'm grumbling about it. Somebody gave me something a few weeks ago in my Bible class on prayer that says, have you prayed as much about it as you've talked about it? So I talk about these things all the time. I talk about this desire. I talk about the church here. I talk about my relationship with the Lord. But have I prayed about it as much as I've talked about it? Have I been quiet about it? Have I listened to the Lord as much as I've talked to the Lord about it? Psalm 62 and verse 5, for God alone, O my soul, for God only wait in silence, for my hope is from Him. Isaiah 30 and verse 15, the Lord says this, the Holy One of Israel says this, in returning and rest you shall be saved, in quietness and in trust shall be your strength, but you were unwilling. So what we see is that quietness and solitude and reliance on the Lord, they're the same thing. That whenever I'm quiet about it, then that is me showing and demonstrating my trust in the Lord. He says here, in quietness and in trust shall be your strength. That's a couplet. Those things are paired together. Quietness and trust. Quietness is trust, church. We love in the church and we love as people of God in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, people of God, people who wanted to follow God, loved pomp and circumstance. I don't know about you, but some of my favorite stories are the big ones in the Old Testament. I love whenever I see there that this rebellion occurred whenever Moses was leading the people. Korah came and he said, I want to lead the people. I want to do this. I want to be the leader, not just the priest. I want to be the leader of the people of Israel. I want to do all of these things that you are doing and more. And Moses says, this isn't for you. And what happens eventually, if you'll read that story, that account, is that eventually all of Korah's people get on one side and all of Moses' people get on the other side and the earth swallows up all of Korah's people. Now that's pomp and circumstance. That's something big. I read through the book of Job. I see all of this discussion. I see all of this talk. But at the end, I see a whirlwind. And I see God speaking from this whirlwind. What an amazing thing. I love those stories, don't you? I think about that and I think, wow, God is great. I see them building the temple and I see them praying. And I see all of these sacrifices. Then I see the Shekinah, the glory of the Lord, descending down on the temple. I see over in 1 Kings chapter 18, there Elijah and the prophets of Baal and Mount Carmel, I see them offering these sacrifices. And the people of Baal, the priests of Baal, they're offering sacrifices all day long. And they're saying, we need a response from you, Baal. Baal, please come down. Please tell us. Please give us a sign so we can see and so you can see. So all these people around can see that you are the real God. And Elijah says, well, maybe he's sleeping. Maybe he's gone a little bit away where he can't hear you. He's on vacation, perhaps. And maybe you need to say it a little louder. Maybe you need to cut yourself just a little bit more so you get his attention. And then it comes to Elijah offering for the Lord. And he says, put the sacrifice on the altar. Then take all of this water and put on the altar. Dig a moat around the altar. Fill it with water. And then he prays. And you know what happens? Right down from heaven, fire comes down, it licks up all the water, it takes the sacrifice, and it does all of these things so everyone sees that the Lord is the Lord, that He is God. I like that story, you see? But if you have your Bible, look in the next chapter, in 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 18 is where that story just happened. But if you'll read there, he says that he goes off to this cave, and around verse 9, the Lord came to him. He came to a cave in verse 9, and he lodged in it. The word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He said, I've been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said to him, go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. Get out of the cave for just one moment and look outside. So he doesn't. he gets out and he looks outside in verse 11. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke into pieces the rocks before the Lord. Here's one of those stories again, isn't it? Here comes an earthquake. Here comes a strong wind. But it says the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, an earthquake, verse 11, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. Some translations say a calm. You know where the Lord was? In the calm. Now God speaks to us with those amazing events. God spoke to us in Mount Carmel. God spoke to us with Korah's rebellion. But you know what? He also speaks to us in silence. If you are an extrovert and you love being around people, you get your fill of the Lord with people. You say, oh yes, I love serving the Lord. You may get even more if you'll take some time in quiet with the Lord. That's good. But this can be, as a supplement to it, even better. Look over just a little bit before that, over in 1 Samuel. In 1 Samuel chapter 3. You remember, of course, how Hannah wanted a son. She was barren. So she said, Lord, give me a son. And he gave her Samuel. And she said, if you give me a son, I'm going to let him be a servant of the Lord. I'm going to donate him to the church. And he's going to be a servant of the Lord. And I'm just going to be a mother from afar. You're going to teach him. He's going to be all yours. So 1 Samuel chapter 3, the little boy Samuel, he's growing up there. And you know where he's sleeping? He's sleeping in church. He's there by himself. He's all alone. He's got solitude. And it says there in 1 Samuel chapter 3 that he was ministering to the Lord. The word of the Lord was rare in those days, verse 1. Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, here I am. And ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call. Go lay down again. So he went down and he laid down again. The Lord called again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call, my son. Go and lay down. And the third time, this same thing had happened because Samuel wasn't getting the idea here. And the Lord called him in verse 8. He says, here I am, for you called me. And Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the young man. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, go lie down. And if he calls you shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood calling him as at other times. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant hears. Then the Lord spoke to Samuel when he was alone, when he was thinking about spiritual things, when he was given that time to God. So we see that God does speak to us. God spoke to us in those ways. Now, please understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that God speaks to us and gives us new revelation in this way, but sometimes when we take a few moments of silence, we've read the Word of God. I've sat here and I've read Psalm 63. I've sat here and I've read 1 Samuel chapter 3. I've sat here and I've read 2 Kings or 1 Kings chapter 19. And I'm sitting here and I'm silent and I'm thinking about those things and I'm thinking about God and I get some understanding from doing those things. And that's what Paul writes to Timothy. If you'll think on these things, maybe the Lord will give you understanding. Not just maybe, the Lord will give you understanding if you think about them. So that happens in solitude. That happens by yourself sometimes. I'm not negating Bible study corporately, worship corporately. I'm saying if you want to make more room in your heart for Jesus, maybe you could spend some time in silence. Some time in solitude with God. What are some steps into solitude, one individual writes? First thing we can do is to take advantage of the little solitudes that fill our day. How do we do it? Well, all of us have little moments of silence and little times when we're not doing something. Instead of whipping out your phone and playing Clash of Clans, instead of whipping out your phone and looking on Facebook, on Twitter, and Snapchatting, or whatever else, sit for a moment in silence. Don't turn the radio on. Just listen to the Lord. Just think about His Scriptures. On His law, I meditate both day and night. And I know just a few weeks ago, we talked about meditation, and they're very similar to one another, the solitude, the meditation, and the silence. But think about those things, and the Lord will give you insight. Consider the solitude of those early morning moments, this author says, in bed before the family awakens. Think of the solitude of a morning cup of coffee before beginning the work of the day. There is the solitude of bumper-to-bumper traffic during the freeway rush hour. There can be little moments of rest and refreshment when we turn a corner and see a flower on a tree. Instead of vocal prayer before a meal, consider inviting everyone to join into a few moments of gathered silence. That's what this author says. Perhaps you could do that in addition to the uttered prayer. These tiny snatches of time are often lost to us. What a pity, Foster writes. They can and should be redeemed. These are times for inner quiet, for reorienting our lives like a compass needle. They are little moments that help us to be genuinely present where we are. Where are you now? If you are in worship, if your heart is here, you are in the presence of Jehovah God. Can we stay silent for just a moment and think about that? Can we bask in that for just one moment? The Lord is here. The Lord is wanting us to experience Him. Please. I was telling Rua just a day or two ago, it may have been last night, I was rereading some of these things, and I said, the Daniel of 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 years ago would have scoffed and said about listening to the Lord, about meditating on some of these things in the ways that I've suggested, I probably would have scoffed at those things. Does that mean I was wrong then, or I'm wrong now, or I was wrong both of those times, or I was right both of those times, if that's at all possible? I don't know, but I want you to consider the word of the Lord. Don't believe, please, I haven't said this in a while. Remember what I used to say quite frequently, and I still believe, whatever Daniel says, you can throw away, but what God says, you must. You remember that? Because it doesn't matter what I think or what I say, it matters what the Lord, what the word of the Lord says. So if I'm proclaiming the word of the Lord, if you see that there are some benefits in this solitude and this silence, that the Lord can speak to you in silence, not giving you new revelation, but showing you again and reminding you of those things. That's what Paul's Paul's command to Timothy was, to put them in remembrance of those things. Not only can you find those lost opportunities, you can create new opportunities. You can take some time, you can go somewhere, you can eliminate distractions. Jesus said when you pray, to go inside your closet and pray. Maybe it's the same thing. Maybe take a few moments of closet time every day where there isn't any music playing. Maybe take a few moments of closet time every day where there isn't a lot of distractions. Make sure the light is turned off in your closet and just think about the Lord. Just dwell on Him and meditate on Him and be silent and listen for Him. There was one website that said this. It's from ChristianityToday.com. Even when you take times of solitude and silence, God will not always speak to you. Most often when I'm in times of solitude and silence, I don't hear anything. But it's worth taking the time to do that so that He has my attention if He needs it. This is important to keep in mind. If you impatiently expect great gems each time you meet with God, you will be terribly disappointed and you will lose interest. Instead, it has to be all about simply being with Him. There's a wonderful thing, those of you who are married, those of you who have great relationships that you have in your relationships, of just sitting on the couch with your spouse. Just sitting on the couch with your bride or your groom and just being with one another. Maybe you're even reading different books. Maybe you're thinking about different things. You're not communicating one way at all. You're not thinking about anything that has to do with the other person, but you're just there together. And there's some wonderful times of intimacy in just that. Now, what about with the Lord? Just spending a moment with the Lord and waiting on Him. Even youth shall faint and grow weary. Even young men shall stumble and fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall rise up with wings like eagles. They shall walk and not grow weary. They shall run and not faint, you see. Those who wait on the Lord, those who spend time with the Lord, that's what I'm encouraging you to do today. Here's one of the things that one person said that's the benefits of it, and then let's look at a few passages about why we ought to do this some more, the benefits of it and how we do it and why we do it. It makes our busy days more fruitful. If we start with the Lord, maybe it'll make us more fruitful if we give it to Him. It repairs damage. It heals us emotionally after a hard day. It equips us to face the tough days, this silence with God, this solitude with God. It creates surprising moments, unexpected answers and insights. It strips us of our pride. It protects our health because it gets rid of some of that stress from time to time. It makes a difference in relationships. It gives peace and joy. It gives greater strength from the Lord. It produces greater trust in God because we realize that He will take care of us. It develops a deeper relationship with the Lord. So, well, we do it for all of these benefits, but we do it not only for those benefits, but we do it because Jesus did it. Jesus did it, didn't He? Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned to the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. It says the only ones there, if we'll look at the next slide, the only ones there were the angels that were ministering to Him. Now, did Jesus see these angels? I don't know. The New Testament says that angels are ministering spirits for us as well. So we do it because Jesus did it. He's our example. But you know what? Not only did Jesus do it, but after He did it in verse 14, He returned in the power of the Spirit. He returned with the Spirit in power. He had power. Do you want power to serve the Lord? Do you want your battery recharged? One individual, as I was reading, said that when his kid jumps on this this little go-kart or this battery-powered little truck, you know what I'm talking about, those things, that the electric ones that go all of about 5 miles per hour, maybe on a good day, they jump on it, that this one had a button that you could push to see how much battery power it had. It had four bars, and if all four of them were lit up, that means that it had 30 minutes or 45 minutes or however much time of go power. So the first thing they would do when they jumped on it is push the button to see how much go power it had. And this author said, if only all of us had those buttons. We go up and we touch them and say, oh, I see why you're being so cranky now. You need to go find a cave somewhere and spend some alone time with Jesus. So maybe the reason we're grumpy and not powerful in the Lord and not doing the things that we have done is because we've not spent that alone time with Jesus, with the Spirit, with God, in solitude and silence. You see? Jesus did it and He returned in power. But not only that, we see that it's worshipful. Listen to Habakkuk 2 and verse 20. The Lord is in His holy temple. You know what's next? Let all the earth keep silence before Him. So when we recognize who God is, that ought to shut our mouths. Well, what's the country song from 20, 30 years ago, or however long it was? A sweet potato pie and a shut my mouth, right? The implication, I think, is the sweet potato pie was so great, so fantastic, that I'm not going to say anything else. I'm not going to ask for anything else. You give me the sweet potato pie, that's enough for me. Well, this is even more so. The Lord is in His holy temple. Shut your mouth. Be quiet. Just listen to Him. Trust in Him. Long for Him. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for You. My soul, it thirsts for the living God. Do we feel that way? Solitude might help us. It rejuvenates. Jesus said, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. After the apostles had been working, He said, get away for a while. To recreate means to recreate. When we exercise and practice the Sabbath principle with rest, when we spend time reading the Bible by a free-flowing river or creek, what does this do to our spirit? It recreates us. It refreshes us. It makes us better people for the people who put up with us every day. Having a consistent quiet time will recreate you. Jesus knew that, and He taught that to His disciples when He said, come with Me to a quiet place and get some rest. It opens our ears to God. Jesus said how many times? He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Oh, we have our ears full of ear pods and music. And we have our ears full of television. And we have our ears full of listening to what the psychologists say and what everyone else has to say. You see? We listen to what mama and grandpa and whoever else has to say. And the psychologists and mama and grandma and grandpa might have some good points. But you know what? We listen to Jesus first. Number four, God wants to lead us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Luke 6, verses 12 and 13, He went out to the mountain to pray, and all night He continued in prayer to God. He says, I'm going to spend this alone time. I'm also going to combine prayer and meditation and all of these other things with it as well. But here what I'm going to do is I'm going to have some alone time with the Lord. I'm going to be with the Lord. Do you think Jesus, whenever He prayed all those times, was talking to God the whole time? Do you think He had 8 hours worth of words for the Lord? Perhaps He didn't. Perhaps He had some solitude with the Lord, that He was just spending time with the Lord. I'm just here with you, Jesus. I'm just here with you, God. Are we doing those things? Maybe it would behoove us to do so. Pray with me for one moment. Father God, this is your day, the Lord's day. We've given it to you this morning, and we've submitted our lives to you this morning. We spend this time that we could be somewhere else listening and praying and hearing your word. And Father, we pray that you would speak to us through your word. We know you will. We know you've promised to. And we pray, Father, that we will listen. That you are in your holy temple. And Father, we pray that we'll be silent. Father, it's our desire not to create more tasks for us. And we know you didn't want to create more tasks for us, but it's our desire to just be with you and to long for you and to live with you for all of eternity. And Father, we pray and we beg and we plead that perhaps this morning the thoughts about solitude and the thought about devotionals and disciplines have made an impact on our life that we will live for you, that we'll give you our whole lives and our whole being, and we'll just bask in being your children, and we'll just give you glory and praise this morning and always. Father, we pray this, and we pray for this congregation and our elders and our deacons and our servants here. In Jesus' name, amen. We didn't, please listen for just one more moment before you grab a songbook or anything else. We didn't talk about the plan of salvation, and we don't always mention the plan of salvation, but the whole idea behind it, listen please, the whole idea behind it is not just a step-by-step plan. It's giving your life to Him. And maybe you have said that I have done that. Maybe you know that you haven't. Whether or not you've been baptized, maybe you have been baptized, but you've not given Him your life. Baptism is definitely part of obedience to the gospel, but that's not it. There's also giving Him your very being, saying, I am going to live for you. If you want to do that this morning, or you want to come back to Him because you've slipped away, we encourage you now, as together we stand and as we sing.